Numbers 22 is a fascinating story. Let's pay attention. And when we get to the part of the donkey, we'll have some fun, but let's just pay attention to what happens. Numbers 22. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are around us, as an ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So Moab is being personified here by their king, Balak, the son of Zippor. He sent messengers, verse 5. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." Now, the King James sounds strange, doesn't it? Let's back up to the beginning of this Balaam fellow. Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor. Now, who was Balaam? Yes, the son of Beor of Pethor. Yes, indeed. But, you know, you're just reading along and you're not paying much attention. You don't know who he is. Is he a son of Abraham? Where is he living? No. Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people. Where was Pethor? Huh? Does anybody have any idea? On the Euphrates River. We're talking Iraq. Friends, we're talking Babylon. We're talking a Cushite. We ain't talking no good Hebrew, friends. He might be a relation of Abraham because that's where Abram's family originally came from, but we're not talking a son of Jacob. We're not talking an Israelite here. We're not talking a Levite here. We're talking about someone who, in essence, is a Gentile. A heathen. Now, he's not a pagan because he recognizes the authority of God. But he's not a Hebrew Israelite. Not even by a long shot. He lives in Babylon on the Euphrates River at Pethor. Indeed, Balaam's name is rooted in one of the names of the gods. Yes, of the Canaanites, Baal. Interesting. Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me." There are so many of them, and they've come out of Egypt, and they've settled over here near me here, and I want you to come, and I want you to curse them. I'm going to translate the King James here for a minute. I want you to come, Balaam, come here to Moab, and I want you to curse them. And I know for a fact that whoever you curse will be cursed, and whoever you bless will be blessed. I believe it. I know it's true. So I want... He's a sorcerer, yeah. He's known as a mighty man of power in his people. Verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So, he sent his elders, he sent his emissaries to Balaam, and they carried with them the wages of a good sorcerer, the wages of a good prophet. You know, payment, so that he'll do it. They carried these wages in their hand. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So they stayed the night, because he wasn't going to give an immediate answer. He didn't have an immediate answer. He needed to pray about it. So, and God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Well, God knew who they were, but he wanted Balaam to tell him. And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. God said, who are these guys who are here? And he says, oh, they come from Balak, the son of Zippor. They've come to ask me to curse the Israelites. And God said, nah. No, you're not going to go with them to do that, because these people are blessed. You're not going to curse them. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. In other words, go away. Go home. I ain't going to do it. God won't let me. Wow. Wow.
I find it amazing he has this conversation to start off with.
You know, with God.
Yes.
Interesting. And he obeys God. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. He wouldn't come. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming to me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me, and therefore I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Wow. Even if he would give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I will not do anything other than what God told me to do. Even if he were to pay me everything he has, I won't do it. Wow. I wish more people would be willing to take that stand. Don't you? Well, before we start putting Balaam up on a real high pedestal, let's keep reading. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balak at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Balaam, if they come to you in the morning and ask you to go with them again, go. Go ahead and go. But you're not going to do what they want you to do. You're going to do what I want you to do. Verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Where's the verse in there that the princess of Moab came to him again and said, go with us this morning. It ain't there, is it? It's not there. God says, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. In other words, if they come to you in the morning, go ahead and go with them. But tell them, say what I'm going to say to you to do, not what they want you to do. And then the very next verse has Balaam getting up, saddling his ass, and going with the princess of Moab. He decided to go with them. God gave him an out. God gave him permission to go if they said go. And he went, and there's no indication that they came to him.
Mine doesn't reference that.
No. Oh?
Since these men have come.
Yeah.
Interesting translation. That's interpretive, friends. That's the NIV, and it's interpretive. That's assuming something there, and it generates a problem in the next several verses. Let's keep reading. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Now, if God told him to go, and therefore he goes, why is God's anger kindled?
Well, based on the if, I could understand.
Right. Your translation's interpretive, and it generates a problem with what happens next. He goes, and there's no indication they've asked him to go again. Wow. God said, go, and he heard the go part, but he didn't hear the if. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. So here she is. He's riding along on top of his donkey. He's going along. And then suddenly, whoop, oh, where are you going? And he takes out a staff and he starts whipping the poor ass. Wham, wham, wham. Yeah. Now, she's gone aside. Why?
She saw the angel.
Balaam obviously didn't. Woo. Yeah. He's going and making this trip. And here suddenly this ass is going off the road. He don't know why. Verse 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. Wham, wham, wham. Poor ass. Wham, wham, wham. Oh. You know, had God opened Balaam's eyes at this point, this poor ass wouldn't have gotten beaten on, would she? Verse 25. And when the ass, I've already read that. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down unto Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff again. Wham, wham, wham. She's fallen now. His ass has fallen, seen this angel again, and fall, and here's Balaam beating on it. Wham, wham, wham. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Why didn't he open Balaam's eyes? See this angel sitting there?
Then the donkey couldn't talk. It wouldn't have been a story.
Then the donkey wouldn't have talked, and it wouldn't have been a story. maybe. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Let's see. Wilbur! And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? A talking ass, an accounting ass. And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I'd kill thee. Now, I don't know about you, but if my ass talked to me, I wouldn't be sitting on it anymore.
Be threatening to kill him.
Yeah, there'd be a Greg Neal-shaped hole in the hedge. I mean, zoom, as fast as I could get away from her. I wouldn't be, if Coco were to, you know, you riding on Coco, you said you wanted to harness her, right? Is it a her or a him? Him. You said you wanted to harness him. If you're riding down through the middle of Sigaville on Coco, and suddenly he turns aside, and you start beating on him, and he turns around and says, Why are you beating on me? What are you going to do?
He'd be looking for me an agent.
Huh? What?
I said, I'd beat him on the opposite side, change the direction.
Oh, beat him on the other side, change the direction.
I check myself into Terrell.
You check yourself into Terrell, okay. I need some clean underwear. Well, that's you're getting more towards my experience there. I don't think. Huh? What? Yeah. You know, he doesn't seem to be bothered at all by the fact that his donkey's talking to him. His ass says, Why are you beating on me three times? Because you've mocked me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, so now I'd kill you. You've mocked me. I beat on you. Now I wish I'd kill you. Now, what are you doing talking? He acts like this happens all the time, doesn't he? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me. I would there a sword in my hand, for now I'd kill thee. He talks to his ass like I talk to my car sometimes. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. He's carrying on a conversation with his donkey. And his donkey says to him, Hey, don't I belong to you? Why do you want to kill me? Don't I belong to you? You've been riding on me since I was a little child. Now you want to kill me? Did I ever want to do that to you? No. He's carrying on a conversation with a donkey, friends, as if it's something that happens every day. He's either drunk or on some drugs or something. And can I have some? This is wild. This is insane.
Because he believed in animal divination.
Yeah. You got to remember now who this fella is. He is a spiritual fella who knows that there are powers and forces out there beyond the everyday common. And he apparently has communication with God, because God talks to him and he hears it and he knows who's talking and he trusts him. Huh. He also trusts and talks to an ass. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And his sword was drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Now, you know what? Had the angel of the Lord appeared to Balaam to begin with, instead of to the poor donkey, none of that would have happened. He wouldn't have gotten his foot crushed. The poor donkey wouldn't have fallen under him. They wouldn't have had the conversation. Balaam's ass wouldn't have proved that he could count and reason.
Wouldn't have gotten beat.
And we wouldn't have this fun story, would we? The angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? He doesn't say to him why he's there. He says to him, why are you beating on your ass? That's what he said. These three times.
Not why are you talking to it, but why
yeah.
are you beating it?
Why are you talking to it? No, not why are you talking to your ass. Not even why are you heading on to do what you aren't supposed to do. But rather, why are you beating on your ass three times? Interesting. Well, you know, I could have responded, well, if you had opened my eyes first instead of hers, this would never have happened. But no, that's not what's said here. The angel of the Lord said unto him, why hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. I've come to stand in your way, because you're getting ready to do something perverted. And the ass saw me. This is the angel still speaking. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life. And saved her alive. So in other words, had she not turned aside these three times for which you smote her, you'd be dead and she'd be alive. Why are you beating on her? She just saved your life three times. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. Yeah, you have. I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. If I made you upset, I'm going to leave and go home. If I made you upset, I'm going to go back. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And we're not done yet, but I just want to stop for a moment. Strange story. Fun story. Story that makes you go, isn't it? I've talked with skeptics and atheists who have picked this story out as a fairy tale in the Bible to say, now, see, that really didn't happen. And if you say, yeah, you believe it happened, they pick on you and say, so you believe that donkeys and horses and animals can talk, Dr. Doolittle. Well, they do to each other, yeah. Dorcas talks to me in her own way. But this donkey, this ass, is talking to his rider, or her rider, apparently in pretty good Hebrew, or Chaldean, I would imagine. And it's a strange, wild, unusual story. How many other stories do you know in the Bible where animals talk? Can you think of one? Yeah. The snake. Maybe they talked that. Well, apparently Adam and Eve had no problem in chatting with the snake. But here, I mean, that's a negative story. This here, this poor, everything the donkey said was true. You know, I'm surprised she didn't say, didn't you see that angel there in front of me? Never got that far in the conversation, I suppose. It's an interesting question. Huh. You know, it's an amazing experience. I imagine that the whole idea of this donkey talking to him kind of stuck in his brain. Even though it didn't seem to faze him a little bit while he was riding on the donkey to begin with. I'm sorry, I still can't get by that. If I was riding on Coco and Coco were to talk to me, I think I would be running the other direction real fast. I wouldn't. If Dorcas were to say something to me, I think I'd be out the door fast. You know,
Well, Max says his cats talk to him.
Yeah, but they talk cat talk, and Dorcas speaks dog talk. That's different than this here. What? You're pointing at the sky. What do you mean?
No, I want to go back to verse 20.
You want to go back all the way to verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do.
Then go to verse
35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Balaam getting up and going without having these princes come back to him and say, come with us. Apparently there was some question as to whether or not Balaam was going to do what God said. So angel came to stand in the way to say, hold up. Make sure that you speak only what God says. You went a little too fast, Balaam. They didn't come back to you. You were already saddling your ass before they got there.
We also, he didn't wait to see what the word was that God was going to tell them.
Good point, although that word would come later on, actually. And we'll see that in a minute. That's just an amazing story, though. Everything between those two notices, between 20 and 35, really fascinating exchange. Seems to be completely superfluous to the rest of the story.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
The look on everybody's face when I said this morning in announcements that I was going to be preaching on Balaam's ass was priceless, friends. That was absolutely priceless. I wish I had a camera. I did, but I didn't take any pictures with it. I wish I had one ready. Then when I said Numbers 22, I saw a couple of people go, oh, okay. And when Balak, let's keep going, verse 36. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is on the border of Arun, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to indeed to promote thee to honor? In other words, what in the world is wrong with you? I called you, you didn't come. I sent somebody else to call you, and it took you a long time to get here. Don't you know I can promote you pretty well? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. In other words, hey, stop your griping, I'm here. And what God says to me, that's what I'll say. Verse 39. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the highest places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Which people?
Israelites.
The Israelites, yes. And Balaam said unto, this is chapter 23. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. Now, he's in the high place of Baal. He's in the smack dab in the St. Peter's of Baal worship, friends. Smack dab in the middle of their church, their worship area. And he says, build me 7 altars. Build me 7 of them. Why? 7 is a holy number. 7 is the number of divine completion, divine manifestation, divine holiness. That's a special number. Seven altars means they're not worshiping Baal here, friends. It means they're going to be worshiping Yahweh, God here. These seven altars separates them, in other words. Even though they're smack dab in the middle of the height, right there in the middle of the Baal worship area, they're going to be worshiping Yahweh instead. So setting up seven altars to Yahweh here. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. They made a lot of barbecue. Seven of them. That's 14 animals, friends. And Balaam said unto Balak, "Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee." And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and said unto him, "I have prepared seven altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram." And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, "Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak." And Balaam returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, "Balak, king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied?" Interesting question. I've been called here to curse Israel. I've been called here to curse these people. How can I curse those whom God hasn't cursed? That's a rhetorical question, friends. It means he can't. "For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." In other words, wow, this is a mighty people. There are so many of them, you can't even count a fourth of them. Wow, they are a fantastic people. They are a highly blessed people. You can't count them. I wish I had their heritage. Essentially what he's saying. And Balak said unto Balaam, "What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. I brought you here to curse them, and you've blessed them. What have you done?" And he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? What can I do but say what God has said?" And Balak said unto him, "Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them, and thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence." You didn't do it from here. Let's go to another high place. Maybe you'll get another message from God there. Maybe you'll get the idea if we go someplace else. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. 14 more animals bite the dust. And he said unto Balak, "Stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder." And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Go again unto Balak and say thus." So God's given him now something else to say. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, "What hath the Lord spoken?" And Balaam took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Hey, he ain't going to change his mind. Hey, He ain't going to change his mind. He ain't going to say something different now that he said before. He already told you what he's going to do. He already told you about these people. He already blessed them. He didn't curse them. And the God ain't going to change his mind. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God said it, and he meant it. They are blessed, not cursed. Verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I can't undo what God told me to do. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and the drink and drink of the blood of the slain. Wow. This people ain't no wimps, friend. This people isn't a bunch of wimps that you can beat up on and defeat. God has blessed them, and they will rise up and eat their prey and destroy them. I think the Syrians ought to pay attention to that, and so should the Palestinians. They really ought to. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Hey, wait. Don't even open your mouth. Why don't you don't even bother blessing them, and don't even try to curse them. Just say nothing. You know what? Balak would have been better off had he never called Balaam to begin with. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do? Didn't I tell you that whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to do? You know, this encounter with the angel and this conversation with his ass there on the road had an impact on Balaam, I think. So much so that, you know, here he's given a couple opportunities to curse Israel, and he hadn't done it. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. We'll try a third time. Maybe it'll be the charm. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and ram on every altar. Now there's 14 animals bite the dust. Anybody been keeping count of how many animals have bitten the dust? Huh? 3 times 14.
Oh, that's right.
3 times 14, because there's 2 on every altar.
42.
And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. In other words, he decided not to do it. 3 times ain't going to change anything. I'm just going to go into the wilderness. Yeah. That's enough of an attempt to try and change a prophecy. Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. He beat his ass three times. Now he's blessed Israel three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. In other words, I ain't going to pay you for not doing what you were told. I got you as I rent a prophet, and you didn't do your job. Go home, and you ain't getting nothing. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Didn't I tell your messengers to begin with that I ain't going to do anything other than what God tells me to do? I told them that to begin with, that I wouldn't take even your house full of silver and gold if you offered it. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. In other words, he now tells him what the Israelites are going to do to him. They're going to wipe them out. I'm going to smite you. I'm going to defeat you. This is actually a prophecy of what David's going to do. That's what the reference is. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. This is a prophecy about what David is going to end up doing later on. Wow. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. And he keeps going. Wow. What do you think about Balaam? You like him? turned into a pretty good Christian. Well, kinda. He certainly gives the message that he's supposed to give, and not the message that the king of Moab wanted him to give. And three times he was offered opportunity to do it, and he didn't do it. Instead, he said, I cannot change God's mind. God ain't going to change it himself. You've heard the message I've been given. I ain't going to change it even if you offer me a house of silver and gold. And he stood fast on what he was told to do. That's amazing to me.
He's kind of a reluctant servant, though.
Well, he was kind of reluctant. Yeah, that's true.
If it wasn't for verse 25, or because of chapter 25, I still think he's scum.
You still think he's scum, even though he held fast.
So he's afraid.
Yes, he is afraid. In many respects, he's not unlike many of us who... He gets afraid to do some of these things, but he does them anyway. And he holds fast to what God tells him to do in the end. You know what finally happens to him? He gets killed in battle. Yeah. And they warred against Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian besides the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian, and Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoils of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods. And they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts, and they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by the Jordan near Jericho. Exactly what he said they were going to do, they did. They defeated Moab. And Balaam died in the midst of it. Still say he shouldn't have beat on his ass. Still feel sorry for him. Next ass y'all have, Dina?
Yeah.
Name him Balaam. So, Balette. It is a difficult story in some respects. It's strange, this talking ass. It seems like it doesn't fit in with the rest of the story. What's it doing there? It seems weird. And yet, if you think about it, that experience in and of itself told him that God was serious about this. God sent this angel. God opened the eyes of the donkey to see the angel 3 times before he ever opened Balaam's eyes. And God was serious about Balaam saying only what God wanted said. So I kind of view the story of Balaam and his talking ass as sort of being an illustration of God's seriousness, that we say only what God wants us to say, which is a very frightening calling for anybody called to the ministry. When you stand up there to preach, if you have any doubt that what you're about to say is not going to be in accord with what God would wish, you probably ought not to say it. Which means that I can think of a lot of preachers, sometimes myself included, who ought to shut up. Well, that's my own thought for the evening. We're taking a ride on Balaam's ass. Isn't that kind of fun?